Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and my guest today is Mustena Nazarian, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Melbourne, Australia. She also teaches Pilates and Aikido and teaches music. She is a musician herself. And we're going to talk today about the whole issue of musicians who play in pain, and specifically about their training and how that may perhaps contribute to the problem. Mustena, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for having me again.
You're most welcome. Glad to talk to you again. What is, this is about our 10th conversation, I think, over the years. So could you give our listeners a brief description or definition of the Alexander Technique?
Sure. Alexander Technique is a teaching method for learning to construct support.
Okay. And it's been around for a long time, and it's pretty well known among musicians as a way of helping improve their performance skills and help them with pain and discomfort. And I know that what you're interest is right now for purposes of this conversation is how training of musicians may inadvertently create problems. Is that what you, how you view it? Or tell me what it is that is your concern here.
Well, right now, for the past couple of years, I've been teaching in the tertiary environment, and also reflecting back on my own time in the music school in Boston. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of there's almost a culture that sees pain as a normal part of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
For example, I'll give you some examples. The instrumental teachers will have some phrase like "no pain, no gain," and this would be taken quite literally by some people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was mostly surrounded in a jazz contemporary improvisation environment. And then added to this, there's almost mystique about talent, and there's multi levels of pressure about competition. It's very psychologically intense, and also physically, there's I don't know. I think I remember sometimes guitarists going into a practice room or pianists going to a practice room, and like they kind of emerged about 9.5 hours later.
Yes, yeah, yes, I see that
course,
all the
during
time.
During this time, they're paying attention to many aspects of musicianship. They might be doing their theory homework, or obviously their technical practice, or preparing for a concert. But there's almost no, it's maybe a little bit easier, or it's expanded now, but back then there was almost no place to go and say, hey, I'm hurting, or my wrists are hurting. Because most of your instrumental teachers had gone off, you know, some of them had been in Vietnam, or some of them had been into quite
right.
intense situations in their oral life. I was like, well, it's a sign that you're getting better.
Yeah.
Experiencing no pain, there's no gain. So, yeah. And so, and I think there was a study in 2014 that was done in England, and they found that there was a study of musicians in orchestras. They found that there was something like an 80% of musicians who they interviewed had said yes to either experiencing or having had experienced pain from either cramped conditions, the long hours, the social aspects of working evenings and weekends, and the level of competition makes it so that whether you're in university level or then getting into a professional setting, to say that you're in pain, it's almost sort of like self-sabotage. Because the
right.
word gets around very quickly that you're not fit to perform.
Right.
And of course, when this happens for an athlete, in college, well, there's all sorts of places that they can go and all sorts of help that they can seek, all sorts of supports that they can have to help them overcome the injuries, or sometimes the injuries becomes a good storyline.
Right, right, exactly.
But you know, if you're not Roger Federer winning a 16th big Grand Slam at 43 or at 36 years of age or whatever, it doesn't sound so attractive. But we are not all the Roger Federers of our musical instruments, unfortunately.
Right, right. And that study you mentioned, there have been a number of studies that have all shown pretty much the same thing, that a very, very high proportion of professional musicians are in pain at least some of the time. And I work a lot with students, music students, and what you said about pain is absolutely correct. They're hesitant to mention it, and when they do mention it, the solutions given by their teachers are often, well, just don't practice for a few days, or sometimes they might be sent to a physical therapist, and usually that doesn't address the issue. But there's not a lot of support for a music student who's in pain.
Yeah, and I had one specific situation last year when quite a talented pianist, I could see he wasn't going to talk about it, but this was a group tutorial in the Alexander technique. But I could tell that there was something not quite right about his left hand and his left side. And when he finished playing this brilliant Beethoven, he said, "Yeah, I've been to the physio, and they sort of checked out my wrist." And then he said, "This is his subjective manner. Is I kind of like what they did and what they said." And I said, and then in addition, they said something like, "Oh, yeah, we do the Alexander technique." So some of the problem also comes from the fact that in Australia, but in America as well, Alexander technique isn't under governance from a national system of health. Mm-hmm. So in a way, there's nothing I can do if all physiotherapists say, "I do the Alexander technique."
Yeah, I haven't seen that problem. I haven't seen that problem here that much, but it can certainly happen. There is nothing to prevent anybody from calling themselves an Alexander teacher. So there is an issue there. But I think maybe the bigger issue is that they're not, first of all, a lot of music students can't afford Alexander lessons, and and some of them, there may not be any Alexander teachers nearby. That's a potential problem. I don't know, I've noticed that some professors would regularly tell students who are in pain, "Well, maybe you should have Alexander lessons," but they're relatively few and far between who take that approach. So, what do you see as the solution to this problem?
Well, I kind of look at it when I work with musicians in trying to look at the facts, and the facts are that, Alexander himself learned the violin.
Mm-hmm.
So he was interested in music, and this is early when he was developing his method. He was very interested in singing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I want to talk about how the Alexander technique can be helpful to individuals who are experiencing pain within their training, within their music training, is that the process really reflects how music is put together anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're talking about is we're talking about a technique for learning to construct support. So it's a technique for really understanding how the way we support the torso can make our arms and our legs, if you're an organist or a pianist or a drummer, not not impeded by the pressure from the from gravity that's placed through the torso. So the torso becomes literally a support for the arms rather than the instrument sort of pushing down on the torso. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's so many realities in the fact that the student is dealing with time as far as when their exams are and the pressures of the things that they have to learn and execute and produce and reproduce as part of their study, that the Alexander technique can really help them look broadly and learn to expand their focus in a way that as a result of expanding their focus, they're learning to improve how they do what they do. So it's not, Alexander technique isn't just for improving the RSI or the neck pain, excuse me, but it helps the person learn how to create support in the way they think about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a top-down solution rather than just focusing on the wrist or just focusing on the neck.
Yeah, well, and, I think the common tendency is, okay, I've got wrist pain. There's something I need to do with my wrist. And that is not usually going to get to the real issue because everything in our body is connected with everything else. And if you don't have good support, if you're not using gravity well, you're not using the support of the earth well, then you're going to end up creating discomfort that could appear in with one person might appear in their wrist and with someone else that might appear in their neck. And unless you deal with that overall question, you're not likely to get a good, you're likely to get, you may get a Band-Aid solution, but it won't be a permanent one. That's
been, yeah, I suppose, that, yeah, you know, that's very true.
So, I think some musicians are, if they do come for Alexander lessons, and especially if they're in pain and it's kind of become a crisis situation, are going to be shocked when you work with them with activities like walking or sitting in a chair, things like that, that don't seem to have that much to do with playing.
Yeah, well, it's just, my challenge as a teacher is to look at the student as a whole and to be able to address that with them from the beginning so that they're not doing a wait and see kind of solution because of the expense that's involved and mm-hmm. of the, again, it goes back to the time pressures and the pressures, well, the pressures to perform.
Right.
And the anxiety related with that it's only, well, it could lead to the pain, but it also compounds the pain. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I've introduced some really precise methods in my Skype teaching, especially, but even when I teach people one-to-one in Melbourne, that allows the student to have something very concrete when they're not in the lesson. I mean, very concrete movements, mm-hmm. not just ways to think, because there's no way to create a learning that constructs support if we're just thinking about thinking. Yeah. Because, you know, Alexander himself, he used mirrors. He looked at how he was moving. So I've made a conscious decision to really bring into my teaching how I help the student learn the premise that they're only going to get better at, let's say, over a series of 6 to 8 lessons, not 50, not 70, not 25, mm-hmm. but a short number of lessons that mm-hmm. are there for them to really be able to put into practice immediately. It's not in a sense of being a Band-Aid or trying to appease to their expectations in any way, because the student would know that that's not authentic. So I think it's fantastic that there are so many, as you mentioned, so many techniques and methodologies that have been developed over the last 30 years to make the Alexander technique more affordable and also more practical for someone who is dealing with pain and the pressures of performance, especially in a school, tertiary university setting.
Right, right. And I don't know what specific projects you give students on their own, but I'm a big believer in students starting to work on themselves right away, right from the first lesson.
Oh, yes.
And I also generally try to keep the sequence of lessons pretty short. I mean, a personal opinion is that you may or may not agree that Skype lessons are in some ways superior to in-person lessons, because it's pretty clear to both parties that this is a learning experience and there's no sort of forming a dependence on the teacher's hands or whatever. But I find that something around 8 or 10 lessons is plenty for most people to get a good start, and they may want to go beyond that. But and I agree with you, there have been huge changes in Alexander teaching processes that some teachers have adapted, not all for sure. So that I think if you find the right Alexander teacher, you're not going to be looking at a lot of lessons, and they are going to completely change the way you play, the way you approach playing. I think that's true.
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, I think I agree with you on all of those points.
And you know, the other thing that I've noticed, and I am not a musician, so I can't speak with that kind of background, but there is this huge emphasis on long hours of practicing. And what I've seen with several of my students is, in particular, I've had students that simply did not have that time. They had families to deal with, they had all sorts of other obligations, and it was not possible for them to practice the hours that were recommended. And with Alexander, mm-hmm. they learned how to practice a lot smarter, a lot more efficiently. And what a lot of them have told me is that when they now listen to other of their classmates practicing, it sounds like they're just doing the same stuff over and over, and whatever mistakes or issues or stresses that come in just keep getting repeated and almost baked in to them. Whereas if you approach practice as it's a thoughtful process using some Alexander ideas, you can achieve in much less time the same, the learning that practice is supposed to help with.
So, well, that's very true. And
I imagine that's heretical. It would sound heretical to a lot of people, and it probably is, but I've seen that over and over again.
I don't think it's heretical at all. There's, if anyone's interested, there's some fantastic documentaries made with Yasha Heifetz, mm-hmm. and he talks about he doesn't actually practice that much. He mm-hmm. tends to just really enjoy life, and right. then when he sets up the tour, there's a beautiful video on YouTube, and when he sets up the tour, he starts practicing just incrementally, maybe about 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and he builds it up to the fact, to the level where he can manage to do what he needs to do in the concert.
Right.
But he practices very slowly just to rebuild the calluses. And the sort of the legend is that his father taught him when he was a child, and his father would basically close the case and put it up on the big high shelf so right. that he could only practice about 1 hour a day.
Yeah. And I see that would sound crazy to a lot of people. I mean, I have students who routinely practice 5-6 hours a day, or that's what they were doing when they first came for lessons. And if I tell them, well, maybe you should practice less, but more thoughtfully, and they try that, and they suddenly discover they don't need all that extra stuff, and the extra stuff actually is not helping them. So,
well, I think if people who are sort of contesting your advice mm-hmm. could basically check out the, you know, the record that's left by, you know, the sort of the masters of the modern
right.
instruments
right.
of the orchestra.
Right.
They'll yeah. find that it matches what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's what we're dealing with is the myth of talent, which is one of the things that Alexander in his lifetime dealt with very, very consciously and also very practically. Mm-hmm. He was interested in how we can learn to construct support in the way we remember things, in the way we can reproduce things in as efficient a manner as possible. And some people might think that efficient can possibly be creative or emotionally effective, but I suppose it's a matter of experimenting and seeing that efficiency allows you all the space in the world to take risks on the stage, for example. And
it's tough to take risks if you're in pain.
It sure is.
You know, that's not a good formula.
Well,
you know, I think we're pretty much out of time. Do you have a final thought you'd like to share with our listeners? Or anything we haven't covered that you'd like to mention briefly?
I put together a little Facebook group. It's called Musicians Ease Matters. And okay. it's very new. And if anyone is interested in sharing mm-hmm. their experiences about mm-hmm. how pain and music-related pain affects them, they're welcome to visit the Facebook site.
Okay. And so my guest today has been Mustana Nazarian, who teaches in Melbourne, Australia. So obviously, if you're in the Melbourne area, give her a call. I'll be putting a link to her website by the interview. Nazarian also uses Skype, as do I, and as do a number of rapidly growing number of teachers. I'll also put a link to a website that'll give you. I'll put a link to a website that is specifically about musicians in the Alexander Technique, and also a website that is more generally about the Alexander Technique. So, Nazarian, thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks for having me.